Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 11, Jad Bharat instructs King Rahugana. Text 4. Is that right? Text 4?
Yes.
Yavan
Mano
Rajasa Purushasya
Satvena
Va Tamasa Vanaruna Chetubir Akutibir Atanoti Nirankusham Kushalam Chetaram Va Yavan Mano Rajasa Purushasya Satvena Vatamasa Vanurudham Cheto Birakuti Biratanoti Niran Kusham Kushalam Chetaram Va Yavan Mano Rajasa Purushasya Sadvena Vatamasa Vanarudam Cheto Birakuti Biratanoti Nirankusham Kushalam Chetaram Va Yavan Mano Rajasa Purushasya Satvena Vatamasa Vanaruda Cheto Birakuti Biratanoti Nirankusham Kushalam Chetaram Va
Yavan Mano Rajasa Purushasya
Vatamasa Vanudam Sahena Vatamasa Vanudam Chetobir Akutibir Atanoti Nirankusham Kushalam Chetaram Va Nirankusham Chetaram Va Yavan Mano Rajasa Purushasya Vaishnavis.
Yavan Mano Rajasa Purushasya Satvena Vatamasa Vanurudam Cheto Birakuti Biratanoti
Yavat,
as long as.
Manaha, the mind. Rajasa, by the mode of passion. Purushasya, of the living entity. Satvena, by the mode of goodness. Va, or. Tamasa, by the mode of darkness. Va, or. Anuruddha, controlled. Chedavihi, by the knowledge acquiring senses. Akudibihi, by the senses of action. Atanoti, expands. Nirankusham, independent like an elephant, not controlled by a trident. Kushalam, auspiciousness. Cha, also. Itaram, other than auspiciousness. Sinful activities. Va, or. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. As long as the mind of the living entity is contaminated by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, his mind is exactly like an independent, uncontrolled elephant. It simply expands its jurisdiction of pious and impious activities by using the senses. The result is that the living entity remains in the material world to enjoy and suffer pleasures and pains due to material activity. So the translation again, as long as the mind of the living entity is contaminated by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, his mind is exactly like an independent, uncontrolled elephant. It simply expands its jurisdiction of pious and impious activities by using the senses. The result is that the living entity remains in the material world to enjoy and suffer pleasures and pains due to material activity. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that material pious and impious activities are both opposed to the principle of devotional service. Devotional service means mukti, freedom from material entanglement, but pious and impious activities result in entanglement within this material world. If the mind is captivated by the pious and impious activities mentioned in the Vedas, one remains eternally in darkness. One cannot attain the absolute platform. To change the consciousness from ignorance to passion or from passion to goodness does not really solve the problem. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 26, Sagunan Simatityaitan Brahmabhuyaya Kalpate. One must come to the transcendental platform, otherwise life's mission is never fulfilled. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone in material consciousness, in the material world, is controlled by the modes of material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, everyone in material consciousness is under the control of these material modes of nature, and just falsely they think they are the actual doers of the activities which are actually carried out. by these three modes. This was one of the things that I found very attractive about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness when I first encountered it, when I first got a copy of Bhagavad Gita and started reading it, the modes of material nature, because you could actually see it all around you. You could see people acting in the mode of ignorance. You could see people acting in the mode of passion. You could see people acting in the mode of goodness. You could observe your own activities, mental and physical, and see how they were influenced by these modes of material nature. So when I was in university, I studied many philosophies, but they were so abstract and that they appeared to have nothing to do with observable reality. But this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita was very practical. You could observe the modes of material nature acting on others and upon yourself. The mode of ignorance is there: madness, illusion, intoxication, sleep, hopelessness, despondency. One could observe these activities in people and in oneself. The mode of passion, the desire to strive for material success, for material knowledge, for material reputation, to accumulate wealth, to enjoy material pleasures at a high degree. One could observe these effects on oneself and others. The mode of goodness, the desire to be peaceful, self-controlled, detached. These things one could also observe in oneself and others. So it's a very accurate description of what's actually going on in the world. Of course, the Vedic literature, they describe different kinds of material activities that are impious or sinful, and material activities that are pious. The result of impious activities is that one remains in the material world, but in a lower condition, going down into the lower species of life, or a lower human existence with more suffering. And the result of the mode of goodness or pious activities is that one, urdhvam gacchanti sattva shto, one gets a higher material position, but it's still part of the material world. And just like Srila Prabhupada would give the example of prison. So in the prison, you can find different conditions, even within the prison system. Some people are in solitary confinement. Some people are in the ordinary types of prisons. But they have, in this country and other countries, special prisons for different categories of people: maximum security prisons and then minimum security prisons. And some of the minimum security prisons, where they send people who have committed what they call white collar crimes, people who are high up, politicians, business people, they have these federal prisons. They call it club fed, which means they're sort of like little hotels that these people are put into. So even within the prison, but they're still within the prison system. So in this material world, there are higher and lower positions. There are the hellish planets, the earthly planets, the heavenly planets. Those who perform pious activities, they can go to the higher material planets, the heavenly material planets, and enjoy a higher level of sense gratification. But chine punya martya lokam vishanti, when the pious credits, the good karma, runs out, then Srila Prabhupada describes in the Srimad Bhagavatam how they may be flying in their demigod airplane, but when the pious credit runs out, they fall down from that position, come back to the earthly planets. Just like you may be going to some big hotel, you give your credit card and they say, sorry, sir, your credit card is not going through. You get in touch with your bank and you find out, yes, you're over your limit. So then you can no longer afford to live at such a high level. You have to go down to a lower level. So that's there. Tri bir gun mayur babayar ebi sarva madam shagat moitam nabijananti mamadya paramadhyayam. So Krishna says, in this material world, everyone is bewildered by these modes of material natures, and they don't understand what his real position is. Krishna is beyond the modes of material nature. His abode is beyond the modes of material nature. His eternal associates are beyond the modes of material nature, and their activity, pure devotional service, is beyond the modes of material nature. So this is the platform to which we aspire. Daiviyesha gunamayi mama maya durateyam mame valye papadyante maimatam durantite. This material energy composed of the modes of material nature is very powerful, but if we surrender to Krishna, we can overcome it, you know, very easily. That means if we surrender completely to Krishna. Right. You know, in Srimad Bhagavatam it's described there is, you know, devotional service which can still be contaminated by, you know, the modes of nature. But that only happens, the contamination with the modes of material nature only happens if we give up the instructions of a spiritual master. Now, Srila Prabhupada said that pure devotional service can exist in an unripe stage. Like you have a green mango. It's a mango, but it'll eventually become ripe. So we can be performing pure devotional service in the unripe stage, but if we keep performing, then we will eventually attain the ripened stage. So that means if one is strictly following the orders of the spiritual master, you know, following the principles of sadhana bhakti, chanting 116 rounds, following the four regular principles, performing authorized devotional service under the supervision of the proper authorities in the Krishna consciousness movement, then one is properly situated in pure devotional service. It may be at an unripe stage, but it's still pure devotional service. However, if one gives up some of these regulative principles, gives up following, you know, practicing devotional service under proper authority, gives up the chanting of one's rounds, then one comes under the, you know, one still may be thinking, I'm performing devotional service, but it comes under, you know, the influence of, you know, the different modes of material nature, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, this point that one is controlled by the modes of material nature is kind of an interesting idea. How exactly is that control manifested? And Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in the story of King Puranjana, we see that it's a question of false identification and imitation. Like we see the King Puranjana, he identified with his material mind and intelligence, which were personified as the queen, you know, the beautiful woman who he encountered there. It said, when the queen would walk, he would walk. When the queen would sit down, he would sit down. When the queen would speak, he would speak. When the queen would remain silent, he would remain silent, and so on. So he was like imitating the activities that were presented to him of a false self. And by false ego, we identify with a material body, which is actually controlled by Krishna and the modes of material nature. We falsely identify with it. But that false identification is an active activity. And in several places in the Bhagavatam, it said that we imitate, the conscious self, the Atma, imitates the activities that it sees the false self performing. Just like they now have these games, computer games, like one of them is called Guitar Hero or Rock Band. So what happens in these computer games is you see an image on the screen, Beatles maybe. So you see the Beatles, one of the Beatles on the screen. You have a little guitar that's kind of hooked up to the computer. And the idea is that you imitate. You see George Harrison, playing his guitar. So the idea of this game is, you have a little fake guitar that has some special keys on it, and you have to follow what the image on the screen is doing. So you're actually imitating. So you're actually being controlled, by, the image on the screen. Doesn't mean you don't have free will. It just means you're surrendering your free will to the false image on the screen, and you're imitating the activities, thinking, I'm George Harrison playing the guitar, like that. So they're very popular games because people like to do that. They like to falsely identify with someone or something that they think is really good. So when on the screen of our consciousness, Krishna presents to us our false ego, we really identify it. We think that's really great. And we imitate. So this is how it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how this false identification takes place. We falsely identify with the image of the subtle and gross material body that's presented on the screen of our consciousness by Krishna and his demigod agents. And whatever it does, we do. we think we're doing it. Kartaham iti manyate, Krishna says, really you're not. Really you have a completely different identity that has a different set of activities. What we have to do is we have to become freed from that subtle identification with the material body. And we do that by bringing, in the first stages, by bringing the mind under control. Chanchalahi mana Krishna. Arjuna says, the mind, it's so uncontrollable. But Krishna says, sabai mana Krishna padaravindayo. We have to, man mana. Bhava mad bhakto, control the mind, put the mind on me, perform activities for me under my guidance. And this brings us out of that false identification. We begin to understand jivaras rupahoy krishnera nityadas, namaivam so jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. And we understand we're eternal servants of Krishna. So by controlling the mind and using the mind to control the senses, according to the principles of bhakti yoga, we actually come out of that false identification. We learn to control the mind, control the senses, according to the principles of bhakti yoga, and that puts us in touch with our real self. So I'll stop there. Anybody have any? Archita? Well, we have it right here. And this is the meaning of acharya. Acharya means the acharya demonstrates the proper activities, not only instructs, but also demonstrates. So we are getting that into just like if you could imagine, they have the Guitar Hero game, and then the parent, just imagine if the parent could project, like the parent has a computer with a little webcam on it and can project his or her image into the Guitar Hero game saying, okay, enough. Enough. Time to study. You've got homework. You've got chores. You know, you could. So that's essentially what Krishna is doing. We're in the virtual reality system of the material world, and Krishna injects spiritual sense objects, spiritual personalities into this world to attract our attention and get us acting on the proper level. So in a sense, it's already there. You know, if we see this world as, you know, a virtual reality system, as say Sataputra described in one of his books, Maya, world is, you know, universe is virtual reality. It is kind of like a little display that Krishna creates for us so we can act out our fantasies of existing independently from him. But he doesn't just leave us alone. He injects transcendental sense objects, Golokara Premadana Harinama Sankirtana, the transcendental sound of the Hare Krishna mantra, the transcendental form of the deity, the transcendental form of the pure devotees who come to this world just to give us a proper example of what actually to do. And plus we get instructions, transcendental literature, how to behave. I mean, there's so many kinds of literature in this world that are simply meant to entangle us more and more deeply in the modes of passion, goodness, and ignorance. But these transcendental literatures are there. The transcendental personalities are there. The transcendental sense objects like prasadam, the form of the deity, devotional service, they're all there. Something else? Brigabadi.
Oh, thank you. Nice class. My question is, when I meet somebody on Sankirtan, you know, there's, you know, somebody who's not a devotee, they're a conditioned soul, and then I show them the book and I talk to them a little bit about it, and they decide to take the book. So is that a decision they're making? Is that under the, you know, are they under the control, the influence of the three modes of material nature at that time? Or is the arrangement so subtle, is the reciprocation between the soul and the supersoul soul so fine-tuned that supersoul could perceive that to some degree they're no longer willing to surrender their free will to the false ego, and to that degree he's allowing them to be, you know, he's pulling up that veil of Maya just to that degree to enable them to have enough enlightenment just to accept that book? Or are they doing it just under the...
Yes, you know, exactly like that. But even if they're under the control of the modes of material nature, that's still under Krishna's control, ultimately. Krishna's under, you know, he's the controller of the modes of material nature. He's there as the supersoul. Sarvasya chaham hridisana vishto matasmritir gyanam apohanam cha. I am there in the hearts of all living entities. From me comes memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtate brahmayan sarva bhutanam yanchurudani mayaya. Krishna says, I am seated in the hearts of all living entities, guiding their movements. Krishna as the supersoul is upadrasta anumantas cha. So he doesn't say, just the devotees I'm guiding. He says, I'm guiding everyone, sarva bhutanam. So Krishna is there, ultimately, as you were explaining so nicely, monitoring the whole situation, and he's giving that, if he thinks that soul is sincere enough and is ready to accept a book at that time, and that's the moment for it to become in contact with his teachings in a more direct way, then Krishna makes that arrangement that, yes, he's approached by a devotee. Yes, let me take this book. If that soul is not ready for a certain reason and Krishna thinks it'd be better at another time, then he'll resist. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.